I was privileged of the Lord to follow that subject on false doctrine. And in the will of tonight, in the will of the Lord tonight, we want to talk again on false doctrine and false teachers. Let us look at two scriptures by way of the basis for our discussion. How do we recognize false teachers? How do we know that a man is teaching falsely? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father who is in heaven." How do we tell a false teacher? "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. "He shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Chapter 12. Verse 32. "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." And thus we have two ways of defining a false teacher. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Don't add or take away from the word of God. I believe I mentioned this last time. In music, you can add and take away from the notes of a chord. Just a little bit, you know. You advance a tone, half a tone, not a whole tone, just a wee bit. Now, that's good in music. And as we sang tonight, we sang many altered chords. Sounded good. But when it comes to the word of God, it is not to be altered. It is not to be taken away from, and it's not to be added to. Tonight we want to consider one of the false teachings, the Jehovah Witnesses. We've all heard of them. We know of them. What think they of Christ? Whose son is he? Let me read for you a little that I've copied here. "The man, Jesus Christ, never rose from the dead." Jehovah Witnesses. "The man, Jesus Christ, suffered the most awesome suffering, everlasting destruction." He's no longer alive. "When he was on earth, he was better. He's nothing more than a human being." That's what the Jehovah Witnesses think of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do the scriptures say? What do the scriptures say? And by the way, another subject, they say that Jesus Christ was not God. There's only one God, and Jesus Christ was not God. What do the scriptures say? Let's consider what the scriptures have to say about some of these things. Revelation chapter 1. They say that the Lord Jesus Christ is dead and his body is dissolved and you can't find him. What did the scripture say? Revelation chapter 1. Verse 17. When I saw him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The witnesses say that his body has been dissolved. You can't find him. False teachers. Furthermore, the witnesses say, by the way, they're false witnesses. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. God is a solitary being, unrevealed and unknown. No one has existed as his equal at any time. These are the people that go and knock at your door. Ask them what they think of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does the Bible say? John 14, verse 9. They say that he was just another man, that he wasn't God. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been with you so long, and have you not known the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. They say that Jesus Christ wasn't God, and he wasn't equal to God. Chapter 10, please. Verse 30. I and the Father are one. And when they go knocking at your door, ask them what they think of Jesus. Whose son was he? Is he God or is he not? We read further of their teachings. The Jehovah Witnesses emphatically deny the Trinity. There is no Trinity. Matthew chapter 28. They deny the Trinity. In rejecting the Trinity, they de-emphasize the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by denying that he is God. They deny the Trinity. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, not names, the name, one name, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that. They don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. For those of you that are younger, I have a suggestion. Starting in the book of Isaiah, trace through all the scriptures you can find that show that there is a Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a good exercise. Prove from the Word of God that the Trinity exists. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Christ is God. We just read, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. They say that Christ is not the author of the creation of God, but after God had created him as his firstborn son, then God used him as his working partner to create the earth. Can you imagine that? You talk about people distorting the word, adding to the word, subtracting from the word. That's what the witnesses do. Let me go a little further. The Jehovah Witnesses believe in annihilation, that there is no torture after death, that man just ceases. He's annihilated. No torture after death. What does the Bible say? Luke chapter 16. No torture after death. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We know this one well. There was a certain man, rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, who fared sumptuously every day. My, my, my. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And notice, beloved, it doesn't say torment, it says torments. Jehovah's Witnesses say there is no punishment, there is no judgment, there is no torture after death. Who's right? In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Behold, Jehovah Witnesses say that when you die, you're annihilated. You become nothing. This book says that when you die, you either go to heaven, you go to hell, or you go to hell, and you know where you are. And those in hell are in torment. False teaching. Then the Jehovah Witnesses believe in what we call soul sleep. That when you die, you sleep. You sleep what? Well, we just read here that the rich man was in torment. He wasn't sleeping, was he? And we read also about Lazarus comforted. He wasn't sleeping. False teachers. Then the Jehovah Witnesses. How is salvation obtained? Salvation is a reward for good works. That's why they go to your door knocking. Among those with whom I worked were nurses, you expect that. I worked with many nurses. And I was not ashamed to tell them what I thought, either. And there was one young lady, she liked to talk to me. She was a Jehovah's Witness. And she would come to the office, not as a patient. She would come to the office to talk about the Bible. And one day she said to me, you know, I am one of the 144,000. I said, really? What tribe do you belong to? She said, I don't belong to any tribe. I said, but the Bible said that the 144,000 came from the 12 tribes of Israel. She said, I'll have to think about that. Another time she came to me with tears in her eyes. She said, what's the trouble? My husband says that he's going to leave me if I don't stop selling those papers, Jehovah Witnesses magazines on the street corners and going from door to door. He says he's going to leave me. And she was in tears. I said, young lady, if your husband wants you to stop selling magazines, all you have to do is stop selling the magazines and keep your marriage together. I shall never forget. And it sent a shudder through me. She said to me with tears in her eyes, Dr. Garnes, if I don't go from door to door, if I don't sell those magazines on the street corner, I am doomed. Doomed. That's why they go from door to door. So zealous. They are working for salvation. They are working not to be doomed. And I want to look at this a little while. What does the Bible say about works? John chapter 6. Our brother looked at this last Sunday. And when he looked at it, I was thrilled. I said, that's just what the Bible says and what the witnesses don't say. John chapter 6. Verse 28. If I don't sell these magazines, I'm doomed. Works. That's her way of getting to heaven. John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What are we supposed to do? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is what you do. Believe on him who sent him. That's how you're saved. Not by works. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by doing, no flesh shall be justified. You can't be saved by doing. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. If Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed. He didn't work. He believed. He had faith. And here is this. I tell you, I was moved as she sat there weeping. I am doomed if I don't sell those magazines. Chapter 9. Verse 16. So then, it is not of him that works that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Works will not do. Whether you run, you walk, or whatever you do, but of God who showeth mercy. Chapter 10, verse 3. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And I feel sorry for these poor people. Door to door, that's their way of getting to heaven. When I was in New York, they were great in New York on Saturdays. That was their big advertising day. This man came to the door with a boy about 10 or 11 years old. And this boy started, "Mister, I want to sell you these magazines so that you'll be in the 144,000. 10 years old. I said, "Son, do you know John 3:16? He said, "What's that?" The man that was with him said, "I know John 3:16. I said, "Teach it this boy. That's what this boy needs. He doesn't need the 144,000. He needs Jesus as his Savior." But that's what they're doing. Chapter 11, verse 6. If by grace, then there's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it be of works, it is not of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. We are saved by grace, not by works. Galatians chapter 3, please. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, it's of works. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We don't please the Lord, and we don't go to heaven by works. Interestingly enough, after we are saved, that's when we work. We have those in our midst, well, they go from door to door. But they don't go from door to door so as to avoid punishment. Don't go from door to door because they're going to be doomed. They go from door to door because they're not going to be doomed. And they're trying to help others not to be doomed. Ephesians 2 and 9. Oh, I like this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. We don't work to get to heaven. It's of faith, trusting in the living God. By grace are we saved. And I'm so glad. What could I do to get to heaven? What could I do to please God? What could you do? God is so good. The Lord Jesus Christ bore my sins in his body on the tree, shed his blood to cleanse me from sin, and all I have to do is say thanks. No works. How does that move you, beloved? Doesn't it make you feel good? You'll have to pardon me, but it makes me feel real good. I can't work to obtain salvation. All I have to do is believe. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with an everlasting calling, not according to our works. You saved, beloved? You didn't work to be saved. And I feel so sorry for these people going from door to door, selling magazines so that they may go to heaven. So sad. And when that lady told me that with tears in her eyes, I confess I was moved. This lady thinks that selling magazines is going to send her to heaven. And I uttered a prayer, Lord, open her eyes. Let her see, not of works, for I could boast. But I have nothing to boast of. It's all through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and lusting and hating one another. Boy, we were surely bad off, weren't we? Quite a state to be in. How did we get saved? Did we really get saved? Let's read on. But after that, the kindness and love of Christ, our Savior toward man appeared, not of works of righteousness which we have done, But according to his mercy, he saved us. Not of works. You know, I enjoyed that thought. What could I do to get right with God? Nothing. And out of his love and his kindness, he sent his son to bear my sins in his body on the tree. By grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace are we saved. And I like that thought so much. Grace. Oh, I have a note here. A couple of notes on grace. Where are they? My. Oh, I'll get them. Yes, here it is. Grace, by grace are we saved. The Christian is not to receive the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6. The Christian is not to fall away from grace. Galatians 5 and 4. We are not to use the spirit of, to despise the spirit of grace. Hebrews 10 and 29. We are not to fall short of the grace of God. Hebrews 12. We are to continue in the grace of God. Acts 14, 13 and 43. We are to stand in the grace of God. Romans 5 and 2. We are to be strengthened in the grace of God. 2 Timothy 2 and 1. We are to draw near with boldness to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 and 6. We are to be established in our hearts by grace. Hebrews 13 and 9. We are to grow in grace. Grace. I don't know how you feel. But I'm finished. Not of works. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we were saved. And we are to continue in faith. I've never heard us sing this hymn. But we'll try. We have an able conductor. And you know what? He gave me a hint tonight of his knowledge of music. Did you notice when he was speaking, he spoke of the tonic? You know what tonic is? The tonic chord in music? He will conduct us. And our sister will play the piano for us. Grace greater than our sin. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Number 237. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse from sin. Grace, grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Aren't you glad, beloved, that it's by grace? Aren't you glad you don't have to work for it? I better stop talking.